इतिहास द इंडियन हिस्ट्री पॉडकास्ट।
हाय एंड वेलकम बैक टू इंडिया एट 70 हियर एट इतिहास। टुडे वी आर अप फॉर अ डिस्कशन अबाउट अ टॉपिक व्हिच हैज बीन क्वाइट इन द न्यूज फॉर पास्ट सेवरल मंथ्स, मेनी अ टाइम्स ड्रॉइंग अ लॉट ऑफ प्रेज एंड अप्रिसिएशन, एट द अदर टाइम्स ड्रॉइंग सम फ्लैक अबाउट द प्रोविजंस दैट दिस पर्टिकुलर थिंग हैज व्हिच साउंड आइडियलिस्टिक ऑन पेपर बट आर डिफिकल्ट टू इम्प्लीमेंट इन रियल लाइफ। I'm talking about the much discussed Right to Education Act known as RTE, and to discuss about that I am joined today with an old friend of mine, Ketki Latkar. Introducing Ketki, I would say that she is a lawyer by education, a writer and a journalist by profession, and an intelligent and inquisitive soul in general. In her journalistic career she has written extensively about RTE, and it is precisely for that reason that I have invited her to co-host this podcast with me to shed some light on this much discussed topic. So Ketki, first things first, will you tell me what exactly this much discussed act RTE is?
Hi Sneha, and first and foremost, thanks a lot for having me here, and I'm just hopeful that the insights that I share help our listeners get sort of a better and clearer idea about the RTE Act. RTE, which is the right to education, or the right of children to free and compulsory education, is an act of the Indian Parliament, and it was enacted in August 2009, and it came into force in April 2010. And the whole idea of this act is to make education a fundamental right of every child in the age bracket of 6 to 14, and it also lays down some other norms and provides for some mandates for elementary schools.
Okay, all right. Though it seems like a very significant welcome change for India, you have any idea how it was conceived?
Yeah, well, so see, we are essentially, to answer this question, we are looking at the legislative intent behind conceptualizing and framing this act. And
right.
Of course, it is abundantly clear from the provisions. If you read the act, if you read the entire act, it's very, very clear that the central idea is inclusion and the integration of children from disadvantaged and, marginalized communities into inclusive schooling is in sync with the constitutional values, which are especially that of fraternity and social justice and equality of opportunities.
Right.
So that's basically the whole fundamental philosophy behind this act.
Hmm.
What we are going to be doing is, I think today we can look at some of the key features as we take this discussion further. And coming back to the legislative intent and a little history about this act.
Yeah.
The first official recommendation for recognizing education as a fundamental right was made in 1990.
Okay.
By the Acharya Ramamurthy Committee. This committee that was set up, which he was heading, had submitted a report evaluating the progress of the national policy on education, which was laid down in 1986. And this Ramamurthy Committee also made some welfare recommendations. So that is where this entire thought process, the seeds of RTE were, I would say, sown at that point in time. And subsequently, of course, several political as well as policy level changes, influenced the course of free and compulsory education in India.
Hmm.
And I would also like to add that India's participation in the World Conference on Education for All in 1990.
Okay.
And then I think later in 1992, India ratified the UN Convention on Rights.
Okay.
And all this definitely seemed to, shape this whole legislative attitude in more ways than one. And that's where it all began.
After getting to know about this act, I've come to realize that it addresses a lot of aspects of elementary education.
That's right, yeah.
And there has been a lot of discussion about RTE in India and also among parents, school authorities. In spite of that, I still feel that only a select few features of the act are getting highlighted. For example, the 25% reservation provision. But I'm sure there are a lot of other aspects to this act. So can you shed some light on that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. And when the RTE first came into force in 2010, everyone seemed so confused. But then, I mean, that is bound to happen because, you know, when anything new comes in and anything this significant is introduced in a first, confusion and chaos are bound to happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, this confusion continued to exist very strongly for the first 3 to 4 years. And, you know, not all the stakeholders, which are the schools, the students and the parents, and of course the beneficiaries of the 25% reservation, everyone seemed pretty oblivious and underinformed about this altogether new legislation.
Right.
But, you know, slowly things started to change, and this chaos and confusion, you know, seem to have subsided fairly right now.
Okay.
But then again, you know, this awareness and complete understanding of the RTE still seems like it's still underway. You know, it's not completely realized. And so what I will be doing right now is I'll try and spell out some of the key features of this act, you know, for better clarity. So we've already looked at the age bracket. We've already discussed that this is an entry level provision, and the age bracket for the students is 6 to 14.
Right.
And the second and really important provision is that this act, it states that no school or person on behalf of the school can collect capitation fees.
Okay.
Or which we call popularly,
donation.
Call them as donations.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the school cannot subject a child or either of his parents or both the parents or guardians to any kind of screening.
Really?
Any kind of screening procedure. It's not permissible.
Okay.
And there are, in fact, penalties that have been prescribed for any kind of contravention to this provision. And the penalty is a fine which may extend to 10 times the capitation fee charged, which is quite interesting. And I mean, this, I think, really is a, you know, is a whiff of fresh air and really a welcome change. And in case of conducting any screenings, the school may be charged with a fine which may extend to 25,000 for the first contravention. And 50,000 for each subsequent contravention is what the act very, very clearly states. You know, to adopt an admission procedure that is based on random selection, and the objective is to promote a non-discriminatory, rational and, you know, totally transparent sort of selection procedure. I think that has been really spelled out very well in this act.
Right.
If we look at some of the other key provisions, I think one that we shouldn't miss is that schools should follow a no detention and no expulsion policy.
Okay.
And this provision is rather thought-provoking. And, you know, it says that declaring a child as a child that has failed, as a child who has failed, is not permissible as per RTE.
Okay.
And schools are required to adopt a continuous and comprehensive evaluation system. So the CCE.
Yeah.
As opposed to the traditional grading pattern that you know that
you had exams only at the end of the semester.
Yes. The fact that RTE prohibits any child being subjected to physical punishment or mental harassment, this is also, I think, very, very critical. And especially when we hear of instances where, you know, children are beaten and, you know, they feel mentally harassed and they are constantly under some kind of, already they are so pressurized because of the academic challenges. And on top of that, you know, if they are punished and they are beaten up, I think it just ends up being counterproductive. So I think this is a very, very interesting provision, and it's highly required. And I think it sort of debunks the popular notion that, you know, that disciplining children comes with the help of punishment and fear. And I think it's very important to dispel
that. Used to be a popular notion when we were kids, I think.
Absolutely, absolutely. Then, of course, the much discussed and the most known feature of RTE, which is the 25% reservation, you know, to entry level or class 1 students, which has been opened up basically for children coming from disadvantaged and the weaker sections of the society. So, this provision, I think, has been already largely discussed and contemplated, and there's been a lot of hullabaloo around it. So, I think, see, the larger objective, you know, for this provision is obviously to provide a common place for children coming from different walks of life, children coming from different socio-cultural backgrounds.
Correct.
And providing them with the same platform where they can come together and peacefully coexist and grow in a diverse sort of an environment.
So, right. So, as I was saying, probably the 25% reservation part of that act is highlighted prominently in mainstream media. And it features a lot in the discussions of parents, of school headmasters and of the beneficiaries of this particular norm. What we should also discuss, Ketki, is that on paper, this act is extremely good. Okay, so there are excellent provisions with an intent of providing elementary education for every child.
Correct.
Although it sounds kind of idealistic, okay, it sounds utopian. It is possible that all the recommendations made in this law or all the provisions are not really followed to the T, as they say.
Correct.
So that is a more interesting thing to discuss. What is happening on the implementation level?
Sure.
How is it executed? And I think there's much to discuss on that. We are going to discuss that in the subsequent episode, where we talk about the real life scenario, the on-ground realities of the execution of RTE, and Ketki is going to share some interesting anecdotes and incidents that she has observed. So stay tuned. We'll see you the next time.